You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
You are unmuted.
Please be seated. Court is in session.
So, Mr. Lessie, I was told you wanted to see me?
Yes. Can I just have a moment with Mr. Brennan before
you? Okay. Sure.
Just with regard to the lawsuit stuff, you got to help after Dr. Russell. We're not going to agree to that. That's what I wanted to see.
But you don't want to agree to that.
Your Honor, I've resolved the matter with Mr. Brennan that would have been the subject of that.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. So I appreciate getting the redacted text messages over the weekend. Ms. Tianetti, this is yours, right? So, Mr. Brennan, I'm letting the text messages in over the Commonwealth's objection. I find that they're properly authenticated and that they do go to...
Can I turn this fan off?
Thank you. So I do find that they're properly authenticated, and I find that they come in as they go to the state of mind of Trooper Proctor, specifically as that goes to potentially reflecting any bias or omissions in the police investigation. So I'll give a limiting instruction at the time they come in. I understand that what was still remaining with disagreement are in orange. So I've got rulings on those. I don't think we need argument. We've heard plenty of argument on this. So regarding the first page with the numbers, I think we should do it the way I inquired about them last week, with just the last two numbers, not the last four. So those redactions will have to be made. I think the first page with disagreement is on page 02537. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, so the first one from Bird saying something stinks, I'm going to allow that in. And then there is a message that you both agree to in yellow. And then for the orange, all I'm going to let in out of that is gotta be, and that's where it ends. So you'll have to redact out the rest of that, Ms. Gianetti. And the next page, and the only other one was 02539, is that right?
Correct.
So that comes out. All right, that's it. I don't know whose objections they were. Those are my rulings. All right, can we bring the jury in, please? Tony, do you want me to get off?
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All persons having anything to do before the Honorable Beverly Cannoni, the Justice of the Superior Court, holding in debtum within and for the County of Norfolk. Draw near, give your attendance, and you shall be heard. God save the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. This court is in session. Please be seated.
So good morning again, counsel. Good morning, Ms. Reed.
Good morning, jurors. I hope you had a nice weekend. I do have those questions I need to ask you. Is everyone able to follow my instructions and refrain from discussing this case with anyone since we left on Friday?
Yes.
Everyone said yes or nodded affirmatively. Were you also able to follow the instructions and refrain from doing any independent research or investigation into this case?
Yes.
Everyone said yes or nodded affirmatively. Did anyone happen to see, hear, or read anything about this case since we left last week? Everyone said no. All right, thank you very much. Ms. Tianetti?
Thank you very much, Your Honor. The defense calls Jonathan D. Amandis.
Okay.
solemnly swear the evidence you give to the court and jury in the case now and hearing to the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. May I proceed, Your Honor?
Yes.
Good morning, sir. Would you please state your name and spell your last name?
Jonathan Diamandis, D-I-A-M-A-N-D-I-S.
Sir, do you know former trooper Michael Proctor?
I do.
How do you know him?
We've been friends since middle school, approximately 30 years.
And in what town?
Canton, Massachusetts.
Did you graduate high school with Michael Proctor?
I did.
When was that?
2000.
How close did you remain in contact with Michael Proctor after high school?
Very close.
Do you have his cell number?
I do.
How often have you texted him over the years?
Frequently.
And when you text him, is that a direct one-to-one or part of a group chat or both?
Both.
And I want to direct your attention to one particular group chat that had 9 people on it. Do you know the one I'm referring to?
I do.
And what one is that?
It's one that's been in existence for many years. We've been texting on that text chain for 10 plus years, I would suggest.
Okay. And over those 10 years, the members of that group chat, I'm not asking you for names, but if you could tell me, where are these people from? How do you know them?
We all grew up together and went to school together at some point.
All from Canton?
All from Canton.
And with regard to the 9 people on that group chat, you're one of them?
Correct.
And whether or not Michael Proctor is on that group chat with the rest of your high school friends as well?
He is, yes.
May I have the exhibit that was marked for identification, please? I apologize, I don't recall the triple letter. Would have been the last one from Friday. Mm-hmm. It's triple N as in Nancy.
Have it.
And Your Honor, may I approach the witness for the purpose of handling
yes.
this? And I've handed you what has been marked triple N for identification. Do you recognize that, sir?
I do.
Have you seen that before?
Yes, I was shown it last Friday.
And what do you recognize it to be?
A portion of our text chain.
Okay, and when you say a portion, it's a limited time period within a much longer text chain, is that fair to say?
That's correct.
And with regard to how you're able to recognize it, I'd like to just ask you a few questions. First of all, on the first page of that document, do you see a series of phone numbers?
I do.
And do you recognize your phone number on that text chain?
Yes.
And having reviewed that text chain on Friday, did you see that you had actually sent one text of the whole body of text that's included in what has been marked triple N for identification?
Yes.
In order to send that text message as of late January, early February of 2022, did your phone have a passcode on it?
Yes.
Have you had that for several years?
Yes.
In order to send a text chain, do you have to enter the passcode to your phone first to unlock it?
Correct.
And so it would have been you who sent that message?
Yes.
And having reviewed the content of that text chain, were you able to identify which entries were typed and sent by Michael Proctor?
Yes.
Who is he on that text chain?
He's listed as local user.
Okay, and it says local user and there's a bunch of letters and numbers after that?
Correct.
Everybody else is identified by a phone number?
Yes, or a nickname.
And actually, even the ones with a nickname yeah. have a phone number, correct?
Correct, yes.
So 3 of them have nicknames, correct?
Yeah, I see 2 on the first page here.
Do you see of the
third on the bottom, yes, I see 3.
So you see 3
yeah,
there?
Yes, yes.
And so of the 9, we have three nicknames with phone numbers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We have 8 phone numbers total, right?
Yes.
And 1 local user.
Correct.
And you've testified the local user is Michael Proctor.
Correct.
And having known Michael Proctor for as long as you have, does he have any nicknames?
He does.
And what are his nicknames?
Chip and Bear.
Chip, C-H-I-P?
Yes.
And Bear, B-E-A-R?
Correct.
And having reviewed that text chain, is that a true and accurate documenting the texts that were sent in that chain for the time period that is listed on Triple N for identification?
Yes.
Your Honor, I would offer that subject to our discussions outside the presence of the jury.
Okay.
May I take it back from the witness?
Yes. Exhibit 209.
Thank you.
I have no further questions. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Ready?
Can I have exhibit 209 when it's ready, please? Thank you. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Have we met before?
On Friday, I saw you. We didn't meet.
You had been friends with Mr. Proctor for about 30 years?
Yes.
Are you still friends with him?
I am.
Are you still close with him?
I am.
You were on a text chain with Mr. Proctor over the years?
Correct.
Did that include other friends of yours and Mr. Proctor's?
It did.
The extent of that text chain, did it go back many, many years?
Yes.
Have you ever looked at any records that summarize some of that text chain?
Yes.
Did it note that there were over 38,000 texts in that group?
I did notice the number, but it sounds accurate.
When there is conversations in that group, do you always respond to the conversation?
No.
There's a particular section or segment of those 38,707 text messages that were shown to you. Did you see that document?
I did.
Are you familiar with it now that you've seen it?
Now that I've seen it, yes.
In that document, are there inappropriate comments that your friend Michael Proctor made about one of his investigations?
There are.
Was it about this case here?
It was.
In those inappropriate comments, did other people on that text chain, not you, comment or respond to Mr. Proctor?
Yes.
In that text chain where Mr. Proctor made inappropriate comments, you did not respond to any of those inappropriate comments, did you?
Correct.
You're on the text chain at a point later on in conversations, but not relevant to the inappropriate comments.
Correct.
Did you know that Mr. Proctor was fired by the Massachusetts State Police because of his inappropriate comments?
Objection.
I'm going to allow that.
May we approach, please?
Sure. Question and answer.
Sir, do you know if Mr. Proctor was fired from the Massachusetts State Police?
I do.
Did he tell you why?
It was in connection to this case. I believe it was based on his text messages that were sent to us.
Based on these comments that are in exhibit?
Correct.
Did you at any time ever defend or endorse these comments?
I did not.
Did you ever encourage him in his comments?
I did not.
May I approach?
Yes.
I'm handing you exhibit 209.
Thank you.
On the first page, ending in the numbers 27, there's a fuller number, but I'll just use the last two numbers, bottom right, 27. Is there a number of redacted phone numbers?
I'm sorry, on the first page, on the bottom of the page?
If you look to the bottom right of the page, there's a number on it.
Oh, yes, and then there's, it's blacked out next to it?
Yes.
Yes.
The last two numbers, is it 27?
Yes, it is.
When you look at that first page, does it have a number of redacted phone numbers of different people?
I don't see anything redacted.
The top box, are there numbers?
There are numbers, yes.
Are they partially blacked out?
No, the display names, it just lists phone numbers.
Okay. Are those numbers you recognize as the group of friends, including Michael Proctor?
They are.
As you read down that first box and go down to number of messages, do you see that?
Oh, yes.
Is it 38,707?
Yes.
Is that for a time period between October 18, 2021 and August 31st, 2022?
Yes.
I'd like you to look at the third text message that begins with Chip. Without saying who it is, do you recognize that as one of the people in the group?
I do.
And what did the person write?
Chip, name of that BPD cop.
And at the time this conversation was happening, were you part of this immediate conversation?
I was not.
Turn the page. Bottom right number is ending in 28. Do you see that page?
Yes.
Okay. Instead of a name, there's a local user with an ID. Is that Mr. Proctor's?
Yes, it is.
And does he respond to Chip, name of that BPD cop?
He does.
What does he say?
John O'Keefe.
What is the next question from somebody in the group?
How old?
And what does Mr. Proctor respond?
He took custody of his sister's kids.
The next one?
She died of cancer and the father overdosed on her grave.
And then one of the group sends a message. What do they say?
Oh man, that's rough.
And what's Mr. Proctor's response?
Mid-40s.
Does somebody in the group then post a Facebook posting?
Yes.
Do you know what that's about?
I do not. Do not.
You can turn the page ending bottom right 29.
Yes.
Somebody in the group ask another question?
Yes.
What do they say?
What's that? Don't have the book anymore.
If you could just speak up just a little so it's hard to hear with the fan on, not your phone.
Sure. What's that? Don't have the book anymore.
How does Mr. Proctor respond?
This one is a nightmare. Forget about the kids. That's awful.
And then I'd like you to go down to Mr. Proctor's next comment.
But all the powers that be want answer ASAP.
And what does one of the group respond with?
Gotcha.
Mr. Proctor?
Couldn't open it either.
Do you know what he was talking about when he said he couldn't open it?
I'm guessing the Facebook link.
I'd like you to turn forward to bottom right 31. Do you see what that is?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
John O'Keefe's Facebook page.
What does it tell us about John O'Keefe?
He went to Braintree High School, studied criminal justice at Northeastern, joined Facebook in 2008.
Turn the page, please. The first line from Bird, and I'll note this is January 29, 2022 at 10:56:39 p.m. Did I read that accurately?
Yes.
And what does the person say?
I'm sure the owner of the house will receive some shit.
And could you read Mr. Proctor's two responses?
Nope. A homeowner is a Boston cop too.
You could turn to the next page, ending on 33. This is January 29, 2022 at 10:57:21 p.m. Could you read Mr. Proctor's two comments?
She waffled him. I looked at his body at the hospital.
And one of the group asks a question.
She waffled him, in quotation marks.
And how does he respond?
He was banged up.
Somebody in the group asks another question. What do they ask?
I thought he was drunk. Did he get beat up?
And Mr. Proctor's response?
Nope.
Turn to the next page, ending in 34. This is at around 10:58 06 p.m. running through 10:59 p.m. Another question from the group, what did they ask?
So the owner of the cop was, the owner of the house was a woman cop that beat him?
And Mr. Proctor's two responses?
That's what I initially thought after talking to Canton paramedic. Then I saw the guy.
One of the group asks further down, what does... Sir, if you could either speak much louder or bring the microphone closer. We have a couple fans back here. It's just difficult to hear.
Okay, sorry about that.
That's not your fault. If we can keep our voice up. So one of the group asks, what does, quote, she waffled him, quote, end quote, mean? And then asks, what's the story? Does Mr. Proctor return?
He does.
What does he say?
She hit him with her car.
Turn to the next page, please, ending in 3-5. And these texts are from 10:59:13 p.m. to 11 and 8 seconds p.m. The person by the name of Bert asks a question. What does he ask? Or what does he say?
Okay, that's fucked up.
How does Mr. Proctor respond?
Intentional or not.
And somebody in the group again?
Gotcha, he was frozen in the driveway and she didn't see him.
And Mr. Proctor's two responses?
That's another animal we won't be able to prove.
And the next one?
They arrived at the house together, got into an argument, she was driving and left.
What does the friend say?
What's the name of the Canton cop living in Canton, the other one involved?
What does Mr. Proctor say?
Biffed him.
Turn to the next page, ending in 3-6. These run from January 29, 2022, 11 p.m. and 11 seconds to January 29, 2022, 11 p.m., 39 seconds. Okay, the first comment by somebody in the group.
The BPD have any jurisdiction here because it was their own?
And then if you could look where there's a comment from Whitey at 11 p.m., 27 seconds.
Liz has got the blueprint.
Liz has got the blueprint. Do you know who Liz is?
No.
Okay. And what's the next comment by Mr. Proctor?
Nah, Kat, it's the total opposite. They have to rescue themselves.
What it's mean?
Recuse themselves, excuse me.
Recuse themselves?
Yes.
And then a comment by somebody in the group?
Laughed at, Liz has got the blueprint.
On the next page, Mr. Proctor's comment?
Same with Canton.
At January 29, 2022, 11:02 p.m. and 15 seconds, there's a comment from one person in the group, number ending in 5051. Could you read that?
But I assume you guys are out to make it cut and dry since it involves cops.
Next comment by Bird.
Something stinks.
And the comment by Mr. Proctor.
Yeah, but there will be some serious charges brought on the girl.
And the beginning of the next sentence is gotta be. And finally, the last comment on that page.
She's hot at least.
And that's a question mark?
Yes.
Turn the page, please. Ending in 3-8. These messages begin at 11:05, 57 p.m., run through 11:06, 39 p.m. on January 29, 2022. Does it begin with comments from Mr. Proctor?
It does.
Could you read all of them, please?
These are not my words. I'm not really comfortable reading these. Do I have to... say these words out loud.
So I'm going to see you at sidebar. Go ahead, Mr. Brown.
Thank you. Sir, I'm appreciating that you're not comfortable with these words. These are not your words, are they?
No, they're not.
You didn't see them at the time?
I did not.
You've never condoned them or adopted them?
No.
In fact, you would denounce these, wouldn't you?
I would.
I don't want you to say words that are not yours. So I'll say the words, and I'm going to ask you if I'm reading accurately. Is that better?
Yes.
Is that a fairer way to do it?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Okay. On January 29, 2022, 11 p.m., 5 minutes, 57 seconds, and this page ends at 11 p.m., 6 minutes, 39 seconds on January 29, 2022, ending in numbers 3-8. Did I read that correctly?
Yes.
Mr. Proctor says, from all accounts, he didn't do a thing wrong. She's a whack job, and then uses the C word to describe. Is that accurate?
That's accurate.
He then says, yeah, she's a babe. Weird Fall River accent, though. No ass. Are those the words that he wrote?
Those are the words.
And there's a response at the bottom from one member in the group stating, oh, she's skating?
Yes.
Let's turn the page, ending in 3-9. These begin on January 29, 2022, 11:06 p.m., 55 seconds. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is.
Mr. Proctor responds, zero chance she skated. She's effed. She's fucked.
Yes.
Is that what he said?
It is.
And then one person in the group says, no ass bitch. Accurate?
Yes, that's accurate.
Mr. Proctor, there's a response, laughed at, quote, no ass bitch.
Yes.
If you could turn to the page that ends in 4-3. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. Somebody in the group says, is that chick a smoke? And then the same person follows up with a question mark. Accurate?
Accurate.
Mr. Proctor responds, eh, E-H?
Yes.
Nut bag, as my chief would say?
Yes.
She's got a leaky balloon knot?
Yes.
Leaks poo?
Yes.
Are those the words of Mr. Proctor?
They are.
Did I read those accurately?
You did.
And then a person in the group says, what are you guzzling on? And this is on, well, let me take a step back to be more clear. The comments I just read, those weren't on January 29th. Those were on February 2nd, 2022.
Correct.
And the time is 12:50 p.m. 12:50 and 5 seconds p.m. begin the page?
Yes, beginning of the page, yes.
So these are different in time than the ones we read before, the series of text messages.
Correct.
Okay. And then at the bottom, one of the members of the group says, what are you guzzling on?
Correct.
And that's still February 2nd, 2022, and that's at 1:51:33 p.m.
Yes.
And then if you can turn to page that ends on with numbers 44.
Yes.
And this is on February 2nd, 2022, 1:52:24. Mr. Proctor says, nothing, writing a warrant.
That's accurate.
There are no further text messages?
From Mr. Proctor?
Yes, or anybody in this group that you have as part of this exhibit?
That was not the last comment.
Okay, let me look. Okay. Is there another YouTube video?
There is.
You were not part of any of these conversations with Mr. Proctor?
No.
But you're still friends with him?
I am.
In your conversations with Mr. Proctor, has he ever suggested that he planted evidence in this case or any other case?
No.
In your conversations with Mr. Proctor, has he ever suggested framing a defendant, including this defendant?
Absolutely not.
In all your conversations with Mr. Proctor, has he ever suggested tampering with evidence in this case or in any other case?
No, absolutely not.
And Mr. Proctor was fired?
He was.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Sir, at the time Michael Proctor was revealing this information on this high school group chat, was this information public?
I have no memory, one way or the other.
At the time Michael Proctor was texting these messages to you and your other high school friends, were Ms. Reed's medical conditions public? Did you know anything about Ms. Reed's medical conditions?
I didn't know anything about this case at all.
Michael Proctor was the one revealing those details about the case to you and anybody on the chat who cared to read them, correct?
Correct.
And you were asked questions about why Michael Proctor was fired, and I believe you answered in a shorthand way for these text messages. Were you aware he was fired for being biased?
I'm not aware of that.
Objection.
No, the answer will stand. He's not aware of that.
Were you aware that he was fired for revealing confidential information about an investigation?
I was not aware of that.
And were you aware that he was also fired for conduct unbecoming a state trooper and a lead investigator in this case?
I was not aware of that.
I have no further questions.
You're not aware that he was fired for conduct unbecoming because of these text messages?
My understanding was due to the text messages. I don't know the other details of the situation.
Do you know he was not fired for any accusations of planting or tampering with evidence?
I do not know that.
Do you know that he was not fired for doing anything to compromise the integrity of the evidence in this investigation?
I do not know that.
All right. So, sir, I am going to let you step down, and then, folks, I have an instruction for you that I should have read at the time that text messages came in. You can leave them right with Madam Court Reporter.
Thank you.
And you're all set. Thank you. All right. So I've told you folks previously, but I've got an additional instruction here. Before, and I think so you know this and you'll hear it at the end of the case as well. Before you consider any electronic communication in your deliberations, you must first find that it is more likely true than not that the person who authored or created or transmitted the communication was in fact the person alleged. And here we've heard it be Michael Proctor and high school friends, the testimony was, I believe. If you do not find it is more likely true than not that the person alleged to have created or sent these messages, then you may not consider the electronic communication in deciding this case. And also here, this text message chain was not being admitted for the truth of what's in the chain, but solely for the limited purpose of weighing the text as they go to Michael Proctor's state of mind. And more specifically, whether or not that state of mind reflects any bias or omissions in the police investigations. So, all right, is there another witness this morning?
Here you are.
Okay.
We would ask Officer Kelly Dever to join us, please.
Okay.
Case down here, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Good morning. Morning.
Morning, ma'am.
May I inquire?
Yes.
Good morning. Could you state your name and spell your last name for the jurors, please?
Kelly Dever, last name D-E-V-E-R.
And what do you do for a living?
I'm a police officer.
Where are you employed?
Boston Police.
How long have you been so employed with the Boston Police Department?
2 years and a little over 2 months.
Where'd you work before that?
I worked for the Canton Police.
Were you a sworn officer at that time?
At what time? When I was employed there?
When you were employed by the Canton Police Department?
Yes, I was.
As a sworn police officer?
Yes.
Okay. What was your duty assignment in January of 2022?
I was a patrol officer.
You're familiar with the case that's presently before the bench, correct?
In some capacity, yes.
Commonwealth versus Karen Reed.
Yes.
All right. Did you ever prepare any kind of report based on any of your conduct or your connection with this case, if there was any connection with this case, while you were a Canton police officer?
No.
Were you ever interviewed by any member of the Canton Police Department in furtherance of their investigation related to the death of John O'Keefe?
No.
Were you ever interviewed by the Massachusetts State Police? Let me finish the question. I gotta finish the question, then you can answer. It works a little better that way. Were you ever interviewed by any member of the Massachusetts State Police in furtherance of their investigation into the death of John O'Keefe?
No.
Were you ever interviewed by either the Canton Police Department or the Massachusetts State Police with regard to any of your observations on January 28th or January 29th, 2022?
No.
And you never wrote a report about your observations or any observations that you had on January 28th or January 29th, 2022, correct?
No.
That was a double negative. Let me try that a different way. Did you ever write a report about your observations related to January 28th, 2022, January 29th, 2022?
No.
Thank you. As a matter of fact, the first time you were ever interviewed in connection with anything having to do with this case or this investigation related to the death of John O'Keefe was by a separate law enforcement agency, not the Massachusetts State Police, not the Canton Police Department, correct?
Yes.
That was in August of 2023, is that right?
Yes.
Do you remember the exact date?
No.
August 9th, 2023, does that sound right, about right?
I know it was the summer of 2023,
okay. So. Do you think it would refresh your recollection to take a look at a report of that interview?
Yes, because I've never seen it before.
Just insofar as the date is concerned, may I approach?
Yes.
Thank you.
Take a look at the bottom of that page. Just glance at that and tell me once you familiarize yourself with that face page of that report. Okay. May I approach?
Yes.
Thank you. Do you have that date in mind?
Yes.
Does that refresh your recollection that it was August 9th, 2023?
Yes.
Okay. I want to direct your attention, Officer Dever, to January 28th, 2022, where were you working? What was your duty assignment on that day, January 28th, moving into January 29th?
Well, 3.5 years later, I remember I was on patrol. I don't remember anything further about this night.
Did you work overnight, like a late shift going into the morning of January 29th?
That was my assigned shift, so yes.
Okay. Who else was working with you on that particular day, if you recall?
Sergeant Good, Officer Mullaney, Officer Serif, and Officer Pasquarelli.
And what generally was your assignment when you went into work that night on January 28th?
Patrol.
At some point, either that evening in the early morning hours of January 29th, did you note that a call came in related to a person found in the snow, unresponsive in the snow?
Yes.
Tell me about that, the nature of the call, and where were you?
I was in my cruiser. A call came in that said person in a snowbank, something along those lines. Immediately followed by that transmission, my sergeant requested that I come to take over dispatch.
Is that Sergeant Good?
Yes.
Okay. Did you, in fact, respond back to Canton PD to take over dispatch?
Yes. So I was already in the parking lot of the Canton Police while this took place, so I was already at the station.
Did you know whether or not Sergeant Good and or any of the others responded to the location while you stayed back to handle dispatch at the police department?
Yes, that's why I went inside, so he could respond.
Were you aware that Sergeant Good, did you have any knowledge at that time that Sergeant Good was familiar with or knew who Brian Albert was?
Objection.
Sustained.
Did you know who Brian Albert was at
no.
that time?
No.
Do you now? At least
because
familiar
of this
with
case,
the name?
Yes.
I spoke over you, I'm so sorry. Based on this case, are you familiar with the name?
The name, yes.
Okay. Did you know Kevin Albert?
No. Oh, the detective Kevin Albert. Yes, I did.
Correct. How did you know Kevin Albert?
He was a detective for the Canton Police.
Were you aware of his relationship to Brian Albert at that time?
No.
Are you now aware of his relationship with Brian Albert?
Yes, from the media.
And what is that relationship as you know it?
Sustained.
Did you know Brian Higgins at that time?
Yes, in passing.
I'm not asking if you're social friends, asking if you knew who he was.
Yes.
How'd you know who Brian Higgins was?
He had an office in the Canton Police.
Was he a sworn police officer?
Not for us.
Was he a sworn federal agent?
Yes.
Worked for ATF?
Yes.
Okay. How long had you known and been familiar with Brian Higgins? Say, for instance, by sight, to be able to recognize who he was.
Sometime during 2020 is when I was probably first familiarized with him, because that's when I was employed with the Canton Police Department first.
Okay. Pass him in the hallways, hi, bye, things like that.
Objection.
Yes. Sustained as to form, Mr. Jackson.
Understood. Did you know him by sight?
Yes.
Could you recognize him if you saw him?
2.5 years later, no, but at the time, yes.
I'm not asking you about right now, I'm asking you back in January 2022. Could you recognize him by sight?
Yes.
Did you know who Kenneth Berkowitz was?
Yes.
Who is Kenneth Berkowitz?
He was the chief of the Canton Police.
Obviously very familiar with him. He was your boss, correct?
Yes.
When Sergeant Good instructed you to take over dispatch, explain what that meant.
It meant I walked inside and I sat down in a dispatch room.
Describe the dispatch room. What did that array look like?
There was chairs and computers.
Monitors?
Yes.
Does the dispatch area also have monitors of internal security camera footage?
I know there was camera screens, but I don't know if they were on TVs or computers or where in dispatch they were. I don't recollect where they were or how they would be accessed. They were in the room somewhere. I can't be more specific. I don't remember.
But you do recall seeing that there were monitors that were showing different views of internal security camera footage of Canton PD, correct?
The specifics? No. Were there? Yes.
I don't know what you mean by specifics. I'm asking you, were there monitors that you could look at that showed security camera footage from inside Canton PD, different areas, hallways, corridors, offices, the Sally Port, for instance.
So, 2.5 years since
you keep saying 2.5 years later.
So let her finish her answer and then ask a question.
Sure.
It's been years since I've been in that room. They were somewhere in the room. Where cameras were in the Canton Police Department, I don't recall. The media's provided me information since this case took place, and I can't speak on what's my recollection and what's been media provided. There are cameras. I don't know where on my memory where they are.
So has the media informed you that there were internal security
objection.
Monitors at the dispatch location?
So the objection sustained. Next question.
What do you recall from the dispatch room, as you put it? What do you recall being there? In terms of monitors?
I remember there was a computer screen that had information about current calls, and then there was a 911 screen next to that. Those are the two computers that I would have been positioned in front of during this time.
as a dispatch officer, by the way, you were sworn officer at
yes.
that time, correct? Uniform, badge, gun, the whole works, right?
Yes.
Had you ever been in Sallyport at Canton PD?
Yes.
What's the Sallyport?
A Sallyport is a garage, essentially.
Okay. You were aware that the Sallyport garage had a camera, a security camera?
It would make sense because that's where we bring prisoners to drop them off.
Well, more than just make sense, I'm asking you, do you recall that it had cameras that serviced the Sallyport garage? Security cameras.
It's where we brought prisoners, so there would be cameras, yes.
Okay, you're saying there would be cameras. I'm asking you, were there cameras?
According to the media, yes. I've seen the footage, so yes, there were cameras.
All right, so hold on.
Sure.
So I'm going to strike that, officer. You have to answer the question based on your own independent knowledge, okay? And if you don't have them, tell us. But you can't reference what you know from the media.
All right. There were cameras in the Sallyport.
Thank you. Ms. Dever, do you want to be here today?
I have no relation to this case, so...
I didn't ask you that. I asked you if you want to be here today.
Objection. This isn't direct.
So it's your witness.
I understand.
She can... No comments, just questions. Not, I understand that.
Do you want to be here today now?
I am put on the stand in a murder trial. I don't know why I'm here. I have no connection to this case.
You have no idea why you're here?
You've never talked to me. Nobody on the fence seems to talk to me since prior to the first trial. So I don't have any idea why I'm here.
No clue whatsoever, as you sit here, why you might have been called to the stand?
No.
Are you uncomfortable testifying?
No, it's part of my job.
You're a professional police officer, correct?
Correct.
That means you're a professional witness to a certain degree, correct?
In the crimes that I've gone on the stand before, yes, I have been.
And you understand the oath?
Yes, I do.
What is that oath?
The oath is to tell the truth.
The whole truth and nothing but the truth, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
I'll refer to it. Is there more to that oath when you raise your right hand as a witness?
I'm objecting.
So I'm going to see it sidebar for justice.
Sure. Thank you, Your Honor. May I inquire?
Yes.
Thank you. One of the cameras, one of the monitors that you had access to back on January 29th did show the footage from, or did it show the footage from that, one of the other Sallyport garage cameras?
Can you rephrase the question?
Sure. It was a little bit clunky on my part. Did one of the monitors that you looked at, that you had access to at the dispatch area, did it show the video footage or the video feed from the Sallyport garage?
So I already said I don't remember where in dispatch the screen with the cameras was. There was a camera in the Sallyport. So if I'm going to make the assumption, then yes, of course. But now that's an assumption.
I'm not asking you for an assumption now. I'm asking you, did one of the feeds, now we've talked about the camera, the other side of the camera is the feed. Do you recall whether or not there was footage that you could see on a monitor in the dispatch area that showed the Sallyport?
I'm going to go with yes.
Okay.
My clarification.
How long?
So, look, I don't know what that means. So what do you mean you're going to go with yes? Is your answer yes?
I Yes.
Thank you. What time about did you take over the dispatch desk that morning?
Immediately following when the 911 call came in.
Would have been 6-ish in the morning? Does that sound about right?
I would say towards the later of my shift, but it was the middle of winter and dark out, so I don't know if it was 4, 5, 6.
Understood, but it was still dark out.
Yes.
Once you took over the dispatch desk, did you stay there even past your normal shift ending to support the investigation that was ongoing?
Not to support the investigation, I was just on overtime.
Okay, so you stayed past your normal end time of your shift that day?
Yes, on overtime.
You stayed into the afternoon, correct?
I believe the shift ended at 3:45 p.m. for the Canton Police.
But you stayed past your ending shift time, correct?
Action.
I'm sorry, I'll rephrase it. Did you stay past your ending shift time?
For my regular shift, yes, because I was on overtime on the day shift.
Did you observe anything unusual that stood out in your mind that occurred, pardon me, in the Sallyport while you were on that shift?
So we've discussed this previously. I can't make that statement on the stand because I've been provided information released by the defense that it was not a memory, that it was a distorted memory. Therefore, I can't state it because at this point it would be a lie. I cannot make that statement that you're wanting me to make on the stand because I've advised that that would be a lie.
Ms. Dever, I've never asked you to make a statement one way or the other on the stand. I'm asking you an open-ended question.
Okay,
Let me ask the question. Did you observe something in the Sallyport garage on January 29th, 2022 that you found unusual, that stuck out in your mind?
Given factual information that makes it so I know I did not, no.
So the answer is no?
Correct.
Do you remember being interviewed on August 9th, 2023?
I do.
That was by a separate law enforcement agency, correct?
Yes.
Two separate law enforcement agents, is that right?
Yes.
And you were advised during the course of that interview on August 29th of something, correct?
Can you rephrase that?
I'm sorry, August 9th.
So what was I advised of? Can you rephrase that?
Sure. Were you advised that lying to those officers would be a crime?
So it was a willing conversation. I've spoken with their legal team. Because of the fact I was providing factual information that showed a statement of mine was a false memory, it was not a lie. Therefore, I made it in good faith, and I retracted given information that it could not be accurate.
Ms. Dever, did you understand my question?
Yes, I did. You threatened to charge me with perjury during our phone call prior to the first trial if I didn't lie on the stand right now. I'm telling you, I did not see anything. Factually, I've been provided evidence by a timeline that it is not correct.
Ms. Dever, my question was this. Were you advised that it was a crime to lie to those law enforcement agents? Yes or no?
No.
They never told you. They never admonished you that it would be a crime to lie to them?
Objection.
Sustained. As to form, Mr. Jackson.
Sure. Did they advise you of anything? Any consequences of lying to them?
So we had a willing conversation?
Yes or no?
Objection. I don't recall.
Okay, there's your answer.
You don't recall if they advised you of anything?
No, because it wasn't...
As a trained law enforcement agent.
Go ahead and ask a question,
sure.
But both of you, only one at a time, okay?
Understood. As a trained law enforcement officer, are you aware that it's a crime to lie to certain other law enforcement agents?
When you have intent to lie, yes.
Okay. So you knew that when you spoke to these law enforcement officers, correct?
Yes.
Did you tell these law enforcement officers that you, in fact, saw Brian Higgins and Chief Berkowitz go into the Sallyport with the
Objection.
SUV? May I finish my question?
He can finish this question. It's okay. Go ahead.
Did you tell those law enforcement agents on August 9th, 2023, that you saw Brian Higgins and Chief Berkowitz go into the Sallyport together and alone with the SUV for a wildly long time?
That was my recollection at the time.
So you did say that?
At the time, that is what I recollected.
Okay. Did you indicate that you noted let me have just a moment, Your Honor.
Sure.
You and I spoke along with Mr. Unetti and Ms. Little on a conference call last year sometime. You remember that?
Yes.
Between the time that you were interviewed on August 9th, 2023, and when we spoke sometime in maybe it was April or so of last year, does that sound about right?
Yes.
Did you have any conversation with any other party about your potential involvement in this case?
No.
Did you have a conversation with anybody in the commissioner's office at Boston Police Department?
Not about anything malicious.
I didn't use the word malicious. Why do you say malicious?
I had a conversation, but it was my department saying, regardless of what I need to say on the stand, they support me.
You were asked to go to the commissioner's office, correct?
Yes.
How long had you been on the Boston Police Department at the time that you were invited to go up to the Commissioner Michael Cox's office?
It had to have been before the first trial, so... And I know it was when the agency released information to outside people.
That's not my question.
Okay, so I don't recall.
Okay. You don't recall how long you had been on the force, generally, at the time that you were called up to the commissioner's office, on the Boston Police Department?
No.
Was it 5 years, 2 years, 2 months? Give me a ballpark.
So I've been on the department for 2 years and 2 months. I would say somewhere in the range of a year.
Okay. Did you find it unusual for a... Would you call yourself a rookie back then?
Yes.
Did you find it unusual that a rookie police officer would be called up to the commissioner's office personally to discuss a matter?
It was a reflection of how good of a leader he is. It was not anything that I found unusual, given the fact he is someone who wanted to show support for his officer.
So I'm guessing all of your training class or all of your entry class at the Boston PD, they've all gone up to the commissioner's office as well?
I don't know anyone else who's been in this particular circumstance.
Do you know anybody else who's been called up to the commissioner's office at your level at the Boston Police Department?
Objection.
Sustained.
Do you know of any of your colleagues with your level of experience that have been called up to the commissioner's office for a specific instance?
Objection.
That's sustained.
Now, when you went up to the commissioner's office, did you respond to his indication that he wanted to see you up in his office?
It wasn't a direct line of contact from him.
Okay. Did you respond? Did you ultimately go? That's what I mean by respond. Did you go to his office?
He's my boss, so yes.
Okay. And who else was in that office?
Me. And him. The two of us.
General counsel? The Boston Police Department?
No, it's just me and him.
During the conversation that we had last year, did you say that general legal counsel for the Boston Police Department was also there?
Objection.
Not during that conversation.
Objection.
Next question.
Sure. Was there another time that you went to the commissioner's office where general legal counsel was there?
No.
Have you ever met general legal counsel for the Boston Police Department?
Yes.
Was it in the commissioner's office?
No.
When was it?
During my conversation with the agents.
You took a lawyer with you to talk to this other law enforcement agency?
Objection. I'm going to see you at sidebar on this.
Sure. May I continue, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. Ms. Dever, when we left off, I was asking you about the meeting at the commissioner's office. And I want to clear this up. Was general legal counsel in that office or not when you had a meeting with the commissioner, Michael Cox?
No, it was just me and the commissioner.
At some point, did the commissioner say to you that Boston Police Department, insofar as your connection to this case is concerned, Boston Police Department fully supports you?
Yes.
Did he also say, do the right thing?
That's a direct quote, so I can't recollect if he said a direct quote 2 years ago.
A year ago, when you talked to us, the defense, did you tell the defense that when you were called up to the commissioner's office, he told you two things? Commissioner Cox told you, number one, the Boston Police Department supports you, and Officer Deaver, do the right thing.
So he said my name correctly. He said Dever, and
that's my mistake. Let's see. You want me to repeat the question so I get
so
that right?
Mr. Jackson, let's go ahead and answer, please.
Yes, and he said nothing with the intent of guiding me one way or the other.
I asked you what his intent was, madam. I asked you what he said to you. What were his words to you?
That he supports me.
And?
Just wanted me to tell the truth up here.
And his words were, do the right thing, right?
I don't recall.
How many other times have you testified in a court of law? During the course of your job?
Two dozen, three dozen. Actually testified probably ballpark a dozen times.
In any of those other cases, has Commissioner Michael Cox called you up to his office to discuss your testimony in any of those cases? Yes or no?
That's not a yes or a no answer.
Well, yes, it actually is, Ms. Dever.
So no comments, okay? Just...
You understand the question?
The question, yes. The implication?
The question is, in any of those... I'm asking you an open-ended question. In any of those cases, Officer Dever, not including this one, as Commissioner Michael Cox ordered you up to his office to discuss your testimony?
No.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Brennan.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
My name's Hank Brennan. We have never met before.
Correct.
Have you ever spoken to me before?
No.
The defense team, Attorney Jackson, asked you some questions this morning?
Yes.
It sounds like you've met them before.
Only by phone call.
How many times have you spoken to Attorney Jackson or anybody on the defense team before today?
Prior to the first trial, it was one phone call where we discussed the case. Outside of that, there may have been one other phone call before the first trial, but it wasn't a discussion of the case. And then prior to this trial, I received a phone call that said, confirm you will be available for one of these days.
Other than confirming you'd be available, was there any discussion before this trial with anybody on the defense?
Not about this case, no.
So the conversation, the substantive conversation, was before the past event last year?
Yes, a year and a few months ago.
You worked at the Canton Police Department?
Yes, I did.
You were a police officer?
Yes, I was.
And it sounds like on January 29, 2022, at some point you were asked to attend the desk?
Yes.
The desk is at the front of the police department where you see people coming in and out of the police station?
Yes, there's glass windows.
That night, did you have any difficulty with your memory of the specific things that you saw that night?
I was never on the scene. I never spoke to a witness. I never met a victim. I never spoke with a suspect. This was just a random shift for me 3.5 years ago at a desk that I wasn't asked to recollect for over or about a year and a half after the occurrences of that night.
Did law enforcement, not the state police or Canton police, did law enforcement ask you about your memory sometime after that night?
The agents asked me about a year and a half later. It was the August of 2023 meeting. Actually a year and 8 months later was the first time I ever spoke about this case.
When they spoke to you a year and 8 months later, did you suggest or share or tell them that you might have seen Chief Berkowitz and Mr. Higgins near the Sally Court area?
I told them on the day of that I saw that. I didn't make any indications it was anything bad. I just said I saw them. And it was in good faith that I believed I saw that. That was the extent of that comment.
So you had told them you believed you saw Mr. Berkowitz and Mr. Higgins in the Sally Court area that day?
On January 29th during my day shift, yes.
Did you then learn any information that helped you remember when your shift ended that day?
So I know my shift ended at 3:45 p.m. So I know that I left then. That wasn't ever one of my questions. The defense released a timeline right prior to the first trial that the vehicle on that day did not arrive in the Sally Port until about an hour and a half after I left, meaning it is not possible that I saw that.
When you saw this information, did you think about your memory?
When I saw that information, it made it clear to me that there was a distortion of the timeline and the false memory I created, I provided in good faith, but I retracted immediately, being provided evidence that it was not possible.
Who did you retract it to? Who did you tell?
So I told the defense team prior to the first trial. I also contacted the agents. The agents assured me that good faith.
Session. Not what they said, but what you thought. Not what they said to you, but
did they threaten to put you in jail when you told them about your mistake?
No, I even spoke with the legal team and they said that I made a comment in good faith. There was absolutely no way that I could be charged with anything of being malicious.
Before we get to your conversation with the defense team, now I wasn't there in that conversation, was I?
No.
Have you ever shared that conversation with me?
I've never shared it with anyone.
Before we get to that, you seem a bit anxious. Are you anxious?
Confused as to why I'm here, but anxious now.
Are you, have you received any negative pushback because of you sharing your memory?
Objection.
I'm going to allow that.
No.
Have you received any unwarranted attention from the public or media?
Not to my knowledge, but I didn't go digging to find it.
Well, you mentioned the media sent you something. What did they send you?
So I've seen things in the media. No media has ever been directed for me to find it. It's just this case is unavoidable as a local person on the internet who sees things that get shared.
So inevitably, you were contacted by the defense?
Yes, prior to the first trial.
You mentioned that somebody had suggested you be charged with perjury?
Yes.
Who did that?
One of the male members of the defense team.
Why did they say that to you?
Objection.
Sustained.
What were you discussing when you were threatened with perjury?
They were essentially telling me what they were looking for me to say on the stand.
What were they looking for you to say?
They were looking for me to say that I saw Higgins and Berkowitz in the garage with the car.
Did you share with them that that wasn't an accurate memory?
Yes.
How did they respond?
They became very aggressive, raised their voices, and the one word that I can very definitely remember is they said that they would charge me with perjury.
What did they want you to say?
They wanted me to say that statement, although I knew at that point it was not an accurate statement given the timeline.
How many times were you threatened with perjury?
At least once during the phone call, but once you say it once, it was enough.
What else happened during that phone call? Tell us the tenor of it. Tell us the content of it.
That was essentially the thing I remember most, because I understood that was what they wanted me to provide for the trial. I was never called for the first trial. Therefore, I'm not exactly sure what else there is for me to say when the one thing that they wanted on the stand, it is factually not correct and cannot be provided.
When they threatened you to charge with perjury, tell us what your state of mind was, your demeanor.
Disappointment that legal counsel would go that route with someone who is, from a factual timeline, saying something is incorrect. There was no retracting based on emotion. It was very clear, given the timeline, it could not be correct.
Now, you work with Boston Police Department?
Yes.
And by the way, when you were with Canton, did you ever talk to anybody about leaving or planting evidence or doing anything like that?
No, and this conspiracy theory came out a year and a half later. I was gone.
Did anybody from Canton ever try to suggest to you you should or shouldn't say something to help her side of the case?
No, because I was never spoken to until far after I left.
Did you ever see anybody in this case or any time when you were with Canton doing something improper and tampering with evidence?
Not in this case or any case.
If you had, would you have reported it?
Yes.
Sustained.
Move the strike.
I'll strike that, ladies and gentlemen.
So you transferred to the Boston Police Department. Has anybody from the Boston Police Department ever suggested that you should lean your testimony one way or another?
No.
Has anybody from Boston Police Department ever given you any rewards or favors for defying the defense position?
No.
Has anybody ever suggested that you should say anything whatsoever that would be unhelpful to the defense?
No.
Has the Norfolk County District Attorney's Office ever encouraged you to testify in any way other than the truth?
No.
When you spoke to the Chief of Boston Police Department, did he in any way ever tell you to shape your testimony?
Not at all.
When you met with the Boston Police Department Commissioner, did he ever ask you the substance of what your testimony would or wouldn't be under oath?
He made it very clear he did not want to discuss the case at all.
When you spoke to the people at the Boston Police Department, have they ever weighed in any way on what they think you should or shouldn't say?
No.
As you're testifying here today, are you under any tension, undue influence, stress, threat?
There is discomfort with the way that there's attempting to guide what my testimony is, but I don't feel any need to fall into it because I'm here to speak the truth on the stand. That's my livelihood.
When you were threatened with perjury, how long was that conversation with the defense?
I believe it was just about an hour on the phone. My phone log on my physical phone would not go back far enough for me to be able to retrieve the date or the time that that phone call took place.
That conversation lasted an hour?
Approximately.
How did it end?
Not on a good note in the slightest. I remember it was a pretty hasty hang up on both ends.
Thank you for your time.
May we approach briefly?
Yes.
A male voice on that phone call threatened to charge you with perjury?
Yes.
You're a police officer, correct?
Yes.
Who charges people with crimes?
If a crime is committed, there can be a report of it. So
who charges people with crimes?
In the end, it's going to go through the court system, so the district attorney, the ADAs, that's who pursues it in a court setting.
Have you ever seen a defense attorney charge anybody with a crime?
So you can seek out reporting someone for it.
Have you ever seen a defense attorney charge someone with a crime, ma'am?
Personally, no.
Right. The fact of the matter is, nobody ever threatened you with perjury, did they?
Oh, they did, yes. I contacted the FBI regarding it.
Oh, did you?
I did.
You have a report?
I have an email conversation where I sent the two questions I had. She responded, I will pass these along. I was contacted by their legal team. They reassured me perjury was not applicable because I made a statement in good faith. Upon further information, I retracted it, corrected it, and made it clear that I could no longer say it because I knew that it was not a clear reflection of the events that took place.
That's a mouthful.
Yes.
My question is, do you have a report from the FBI saying that you reported that someone on the Jeremy defense team threatened to charge you, your words, with perjury? You
no.
Have a report to that effect?
No.
No.
Your job as a police officer is to be objective, isn't it?
Yes.
You're not supposed to take an adversarial position against one side or the other, correct?
I don't.
Just right down the middle, just the facts as you know them, correct?
Yes.
You feel like you're being unbiased in your testimony here today in front of these jurors?
I'm telling the truth.
You think you're being fair to both sides?
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.